Our first scripture reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God for every remembrance of you, always in every one of my prayers for all of you, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I hold you in my heart, for all of you are my partners in God's grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the tender affection of Jesus Christ.
Our second scripture reading, also taken from Philippians, and we're going to be examining this writing of Philippians this Sunday and the next three Sundays. There's four chapters in this writing of Paul. And like most of the writings you have of Paul in the New Testament, they aren't these theological treatises. They're letters. They're letters to churches. And so this is a letter, Philippians, that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi in order to address certain things that were taking place in that congregation at that time. So our second scripture reading, it picks up at verse 12 in chapter 1. Paul says this, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the spreading of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Let us pray. May your Spirit be upon us, our Heavenly Father, that the Lordship of Jesus Christ can be praised this day in the understanding of your will, we pray. Amen. Okay, how many of you know the songwriter Billy Joel? Okay. Everybody? Well, I don't know. That's getting to be a while now that he's been around. His early song, his early hit was called, do you remember? Piano Man. Okay. And what it describes is his time when he used to play piano at a bar. And in this song, he describes the various people who come to hear him play the piano. And some of these people are lonely and troubled. And the song goes into some detail about the circumstances of their lives. And one of the people he describes in this song is his friend, the bartender. And in the song, he says, John at the bar is a friend of mine. He gets me my drinks for free. He's quick with a joke or to light up your smoke. But there's someplace he'd rather be. And then he says, Bill, I believe this is killing me. As a smile ran away from his face, but still, I believe I could be a movie star if I could only get out of this place. I don't know about you, but I think any number of us can echo the sentiment of that song at any number of moments in our lives. Except for today, of course, because there's no place you'd rather be than right here, right now, in worship. Okay. The idea expressed is that if we could only be somewhere else in life, it would be better. Now, it's worth noting that when you read the Bible, you discover that often it's God's most faithful servants find themselves in places they'd rather not be. It's those people who choose to follow God, people whom God chose for a special purpose, many whom we consider saints, patriarchs and matriarchs of the church, often landed in places that were bad. And nowhere was this dynamic truer than with the Apostle Paul, the writer of Philippians. You know, Paul wrote this letter to the Christians in Philippi while he was serving time in prison in Rome. And this outreach to Philippi was no small matter. It was a critical outreach for Paul. It was established during his second missionary journey and was the first church that was established on European soil. Philippi was also a Roman colony, meaning the Romans established this city as a kind of outpost of the empire, where unlike other cities, these people were primarily Roman citizens. And they wore the Roman dress and spoke the Roman language, and they used the Roman laws to govern them. And as for their religion, it was all about emperor worship, the Caesar. And because of this Roman and pagan influence, this was going to be a tough nut for Paul and his companions to crack. And yet they did. And we see Paul, that despite these overwhelming odds, creating a foothold of faith and a faith community there in that place. We see him reaching out to this whole cross-section of people who had all these pagan influences. And the Holy Spirit helped them to understand that God was for everyone, from the top of the social scale to the bottom. And yet there was great struggle in that. If you read the book of Acts, we are told that Paul was thrown into jail there as well. And when Paul was able to leave Philippi and to further the gospel elsewhere, the people who he left behind had to go through similar kinds of struggles. And so as Paul furthered his missionary journeys, he would be thrown into prison again, this time in Rome. And it was for a much longer period. So what we have here is Paul, one who was persecuted, is persecuted, writing to a people, being persecuted. And yet, the way that Paul responds to this situation in his life, I think can provide us with a piece of knowledge of how to take those steps forward when we're in a place we would rather not be. I'm really impressed that, you know, with Paul, you see this determination to serve God despite where he was. You know, even though he is restricted and confined, he is committed to being Christ's apostle. And the fact that he writes this letter in prison shows this. Paul's letters provide the guidance for the people of the church, how they are to live, what they were to believe, how they were to respond to the persecutions they were experiencing. And Paul could have easily said, well, you know, my life's on hold here. I can't help you. You'll have to manage yourselves until I get out. But Paul instead, he says, well, what do I have that I can use to be an instrument of God's grace and mercy to those being persecuted just like I am? And Paul used what was available to him. He wrote these letters, not only to the Philippian church, but also to others. I was thinking, what if he were to postpone his discipleship until he was set free? Then we wouldn't have these writings of Paul that have become our scripture. I'm thinking, you know, too often we postpone life, thinking that once our circumstances are better, then we'll be the people that we want to be. or on a faith level, we'll be the people that God wants us to be. You know, we're kind of like that bartender in the Billy Joel song, "You just wait until I get out of this place or a certain situation in life changes, then I will be able to accomplish all kinds of things." And the months go by, the years go by, and nothing changes. At least not in the way that we would like to see it change. I remember on one of my deployments, a soldier actually said to me, "My life ended when this deployment started." Well, how different was the attitude of the Apostle Paul, who was determined to do the work of the gospel within the parameters that he had to operate. And what this means for us is that we have to grab after those redemptive moments, whatever our situation in life is, and running with them as best we can. You know, my image of Paul is not one slumped over, sulking over his situation in life. You don't see him asking, "Why is this happening to me when I've been a faithful servant of God?" Instead, we see this determination, "I'm going to serve my Lord the best I can, in whatever capacity, that wherever I am, I can offer something." There was an army nurse who I served with in a medical unit in my deployment to Iraq, and that's getting to be 20 years ago now. And the wounded soldiers and Marines would be brought to be treated at this medical center before they were sent on to the next level of care. And she was so good at what she did, not only in her overall competency, but just in the way that she was able to show compassion to these servicemen and women. And I told her after a particularly difficult night, I said, "You know, with people like you, the Army probably doesn't need chaplains." And she said, "Really?" And I said, "I'm glad the Army saw fit to send you here." And she said, "You know, I didn't ask to be here in this place, but I believe this is where God wants me to be. God's work is here for me right now." And it's worth considering that the place that you would rather not be may be exactly where God wants you to be. The other thing you see Paul doing in these opening verses is expressing thanks. "I thank my God in my remembrance of you," constantly praising God with joy, "and in every one of my prayers for all of you. I thank my God in my remembrance of you." He expresses his gratefulness to the people who supported him. "It is right," he says, "for me to think this way about you because you hold me in your heart and all of you share in God's grace with me." You know, I think we all can agree that when we are in a bad place, it would do us well to look around and see those people in your life who have made a difference. And think back over those in your life, the ones who kept the lamp of faith burning. Even as they have departed this life, the ripples of their influence continue. Thank God for our remembrance of them. When in a bad place, remember those people in your life who have been your rock and your hope. And one more thing that we see Paul doing in this bad place, he's praising God. "Yes, I will continue to rejoice," he says. And throughout this letter, you see this theme of praise and rejoicing from Paul. He wants to make it clear that even though he is in prison, even though he is cut off from the people he cares about, he refuses to allow that to take away his ability to praise his Savior. Paul said to his brothers and sisters, "I want you to know that what has happened to me has actually helped spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard," that is, throughout the leadership of the Roman government, "that my imprisonment is for Christ." It was bearing witness to Jesus, and that was a reason to praise God. It strengthened the gospel. When you are in that bad place, find that way to bring redemption out of it and to praise God for it. Because what we have in Jesus, what Christ has done for us, nothing can take that away. So nothing should take away our ability to praise God. So when you find yourself in that place you would rather not be, follow Paul's lead, using whatever it is that we have to be faithful, to be confident as Christ's disciples, rejoicing, knowing that Christ brings redemption out of whatever circumstances we may be in. And now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than we could ask or think, to him be the power and the glory now and forever. Amen.